Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
We have been talking about our theme this year, to live bold. We've been talking about what it is to have bold faith, to be bold as lions. Today, I'm going to talk about living bold for truth. Our Bible engagement is going to really look at the story of Acts 3 and 4, which we preached on the first Sunday of January, about Peter and James, and how it's important for us to bear witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to refuse to be silent. When there's so many loud voices and there is pressure within our society to just keep our religion to ourselves, right? To just not say anything. But we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, need to be willing to speak up where we are led to speak up and to stand for the truth of the good news. So I wanted to recap what we ended on last week, because we're going to revisit the verse in Philippians. But we talked about what does it look like in Proverbs, the righteous are bold as lions. And so this is a recap from last week. First of all, it means that our trust and our confidence is in God. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? So our trust is not about our church, our denomination. Well, it is about Jesus. Christ in us. It's the inner security of who Jesus is, who we are because of Jesus, and the mission we have as his people. Being bold as a lion means we got a clear conscience. Why? Because all of our sins have been forgiven. So we can live with a clean and clear conscience as one forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. To be bold as a lion also means that we've got to come to the place where the only opinion that matters is God's. And that could be a tough one for a lot of us if we're honest. We got to live to show the worth of the gospel. That means it's not enough to say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Your life should look like it and should look like it more and more and more the longer you walk with Jesus, right? Because there is this expectation that our faith in Jesus produces in us a change from the inside out. And so we are encouraged in Philippians, which we're going to read again, to stand and fight together as one in spirit, with one purpose, one spirit. We got to refuse to be intimidated, to live undaunted, to live unafraid, to see persecution and suffering for Jesus as our highest privilege. So I want to read Philippians chapter 1. If you'll open your Bibles with me, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. I want to revisit this from last week. It says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith which is in the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but the privilege of suffering for him. We are to live as citizens of heaven. And I was thinking about how we have a process here in the United States. If you come from a different country, and many of you have, and you want to become a citizen of the United States, you have to learn the ways of the U.S., the laws of the U.S., correct? The government of the U.S., and then you take a test, and then you stand and you swear to become a citizen and to live according to the values and the standards of the United States, right? Then you become a citizen. And I was thinking, man, that is a lot of similarity with the gospel, except the difference is we become citizens of Jesus before we really understand everything it entails. But when we choose to give our life to Jesus in faith, because he gave his life first for us, then we learn that it's not enough just to believe. Now I've got to learn how to live for Jesus. And so Paul is saying, you need to live your life in a way that shows how good the gospel is. Do you know that people will watch your life more than they will listen to your words? Because if all you do is try to preach for Jesus, but your life doesn't match it, They don't care what you have to say. If anything, your words become a turnoff. Now, this is not in the Bible, but Francis Assisi said, a monk, a very famous monk in the day, he said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." And I just think that's so appropriate. Because if we will live our lives in a way that shows the worth of the gospel, people will see that we're different. Well, you're a person of integrity. You're on time to work. You're not on your phone at work. When you're at work, you're working, and you're working good. Imagine that. You show kindness and respect. You're patient. You're gentle. You show understanding. You don't act like the others. You don't steal when nobody is looking. You live your life in a way that shows how good God has been, as we've sang today. It's not enough to know how good he is. We must live and show the world how good he is. And I'm not talking about being perfect, because nobody here will ever be perfect this side of heaven. Amen? So it's not about being perfect, but it's about learning how to live in a way that proves that God's word is good and it works. And he encourages us to join together. That's why coming to church is so important. That's why being part of small groups is so important, because it's coming together where we encourage each other, right? We stand with one another. It is easier to stand up in faith when you got people around you doing it too. And we're seeing a bit of a switch in our culture, because a few bold people were willing to stand for truth, and now more people are willing to stand for truth. It's just the way human nature is. But I like how Paul says here. He says, fight for the faith. Right? Fight for the faith. Don't fight for your opinion, because your opinion doesn't matter. Don't fight for your tradition, your preferences. Fight for faith. See, sometimes I think the enemy knows he can't keep us from fighting for Jesus, but he can get us fighting the wrong way. What do you fight for? The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What style of music is not something you fight over. What day you worship is not something you fight over. How you dress when you go to church is not something you fight over. What you fight for is the truth of God's word. Not if you want lights or fogged or not. That's all preference. Don't die on the hill of preference. We fight for faith. We fight for faith, the good news. And our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is spiritual. So we don't fight people. This is not a call to fight people. That coworker that you work with that is very anti-God and just wants to blow up Jesus, you don't fight him. He's not your enemy. Love him. Show the worth of the gospel. But see, the enemy, the devil, he is a bully. That's the only way he knows how to fight, through fear tactics, through shame, through guilt, right? Through intimidation. That's why Paul says, don't be intimidated by your enemies. When they're trying to silence you, don't be intimidated. When they're trying to shame you, oh, you speak like that, that's because you're prejudiced. Don't let shame or bully or intimidation silence you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be complacent, because the enemy will try to bully us either into silence or compliance, compromise or complacency. And so we can't allow the enemy to intimidate us. We refuse to be intimidated. Why? Because God is in us and he promises to be with us and to save us and deliver us. So I want to take you to 2 Timothy. We're going to revisit this verse from a couple of Sundays ago, but we're going to read more in context. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7. Here says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord." Why do we not have a spirit of fear or timidity? Because the Holy Spirit is in us. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why God has not given us over to fear or to be intimidated. But when we feel afraid, we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us be bold as lions, because it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. I'm not trying to fight for my reputation. I just want to speak the truth of Jesus. It's not about your position, it's about Jesus. Tell your neighbor, it's about Jesus. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Sometimes we are. We're a little scared. Even I at times, it's just like the Lord's like talking to my heart. It's like, that can't be God. It is God. Because Satan would never tell you to go tell someone about Jesus. So if you're wondering if that was God or not, it is. Just so you know, I'm going to clear that up for you, okay? Satan's going to be like, go tell that person about Jesus. Nope, that's not what he wants you to do, okay? So you know that's Jesus, right? But this is the promise, is that when we read this, don't be ashamed because you feel ashamed. Listen, be empowered to overcome any fear or shame because the Holy Spirit has given you a spirit of love, of power, and self-discipline. Okay, I'm going to say it again. When you are scared and freaking out and your heart's racing and you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to speak up for Jesus, don't let that bring you into deeper shame that silences you. That's the devil. Instead, remind yourself, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit has not given me a spirit of fear or timidity, but of love, power, self-control. And then Paul goes on to say, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm suffering in prison. For with the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. What does holy mean? Set apart for God. Again, it's echoing the concept that we are called to live in a way that is different from the world. Okay, don't let that word holy scare you. It means we are learning to embrace our new identities as children of God, and we're learning how to live it out. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time to show his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Look at this. He broke the power of death. Whoo! I'm gonna read it again. It's talking about Jesus. Some of you need to wake up. He broke the power of death. That's why we don't have to be afraid. Because he broke the power of death. Not only that, he illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. So what can man do to me? Jesus said they can kill your body, but they cannot save your soul. So even if they took my life for standing for Christ, they are not in charge of my destiny. It is secure in heaven by faith in Jesus Christ. I am so grateful that it has nothing to do with me and everything to do with Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the power of Jesus. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of this good news. God chose you to be an accountant. He chose you to be a teacher. He chose you to be a lawyer. He chose you to be a stay-at-home mom. Whatever he chose you to do, he did it. Why? So that you could express the good news. Man, I'm called to be a pastor, but guess what? Sharing the good news is not limited to the pastor. I can't go to the people you work with, but you see them every day. The people in your life are there for you to influence for Jesus Christ. So your job is not just a paycheck. Your job is your mission field. Your job is your opportunity to live the gospel in reality so that people see it and want to know why you're so different. Paul says, that is why I'm suffering in prison, but I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. This is Paul saying, you know how I deal with persecution? I embrace it because I trust Jesus and I know he's got me and he'll take care of me until the very end. How you and I live bold for truth is knowing that it's not about us. It's not about winning an argument. It's about knowing who we trust and that he is able to take care of everything about us. So Paul says, hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching that you learned from me, a pattern shaped by what? The faith and love you have in Christ Jesus. That's why I said we got to live bold, bold faith, bold love. Come on, say bold faith and bold love. This is what we hold on to. That's the truth of the gospel, faith in Christ, because God loved us first. Just like we sang about today. It says, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, carefully, look at this, please, church, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Ever since the church was born in the book of Acts, the devil has been trying to distort truth. The devil has been trying to get people to chase different winds of teaching that sound good but aren't true. And you and I need to hold to the truth and by the power of the Holy Spirit guard the truth. That means, as I said last week, I'm going to say it again. Don't believe everything you hear, read, listen to, scroll, or click on. Learn to have the Holy Spirit discern, yes, this is of me, and no, this is not. We talked about in 1 John, testing the spirits. Oh, no, we're going to read that. Hey, I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's read it. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1. Safeguard the treasure of truth that you have. Man, it is warm in here. Whew. Hallelujah for heaters. Thank you, Jesus. All right, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. Thus says the Lord. Do not believe everything some preacher, influencer, podcaster gets online and says. Learn to test the truth through the Holy Spirit and the Bible for yourself. And if you're not sure, go to someone you trust and have them help you. Okay? Just because all of the loudest voices in society are shouting, this is truth, don't just buy into it. Know the truth. Search the scriptures to find the truth. Let's keep reading. Okay, I'm going to start at the top. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false voices. I'm gonna use the word voices because that's really what prophets are. They're messengers. There are a lot of fake messengers in our world today. There's a lot of fake messengers in this world today. Verse 2, this is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a messenger acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, wow, that person has the Spirit of God. I'm going to pause. One of the earliest lies that Satan tried to bring in to corrupt the church was that Jesus was not fully man, that he didn't have a real human body. And they believed that if Jesus was fully man, then he couldn't be God. Therefore, he couldn't be Messiah. And so there was this mixture of philosophies that were trying to come into the church by removing from Jesus the fact that he's fully man and fully God. So Paul is saying, look, if they tell you that Jesus didn't have a real human body, don't listen to them because they're lying. So even back then, at the very beginning, Satan was trying to find ways to get people off track, and he's still doing it today. There was a big, important church service that took place in our nation's capital today, and the pulpit was used to speak lies, not truth. And it broke my heart. I watched it and I was just so sad. And that's not a one thing. It happens more often than you realize. That's why Paul says you got to guard the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by your own human reasoning. Because sometimes what they say makes a lot of sense. Right? Sometimes I'm like, huh, yeah, that makes sense. And my mind is like tracking, but my spirit is like, ding, 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 ding. Don't listen, don't listen, don't listen. You guys relate to me? Where in your head you're like, yeah, but your spirit's like, whoa, no. Pay attention. That's the Holy Spirit in you helping you guard the truth of what you believe. Aren't you so glad we got the Holy Spirit? Come on. It keeps reading. Let's keep reading. Okay, stand back. There we go. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from this world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. And if they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. So don't be surprised if the world says, oh, you believe that way? You're a hater. Oh, you believe that way? There's something wrong with you. You're the problem. Because they can't accept truth. They only look for logic and reasoning when it suits them. They can't even say they believe in science because they just, I don't know, science has gotten weird over the last decade, right? So it's like their own God is their own logic and reasoning. I don't know about you, but when you depend on your own logic or reasoning, you're saying that you're higher than God. You are saying that my understanding is better than what God says. Now, one of the things you got to understand here, he's talking about the spirit of the Antichrist. That is not the actual person, the Antichrist, who will come in the end times and proclaim himself God during the tribulation. But there is a spirit of Antichrist at work trying to influence the world to be anti-Christ. So all of the things in our society that try to take us away from God, that want to change the gospel, are being empowered by the spirit of the Antichrist. And you know that part of the role of the church by the power of the Holy Spirit is to stave off the Antichrist spirit so that people can hear the truth and be saved. That's part of our calling. And the spirit of the Antichrist is the devil. That's why it says if you believe by the spirit, you have the spirit of truth. But if you believe the lies, you have the spirit of deception. Who's the father of lies? Satan. So we have to really test the spirits. Is this of God or is this of the enemy? How do you do it? Listen to the Holy Spirit in you. Read the Bible. Know the Bible. I am here to say today that God's word is the litmus test for discerning biblical truth. And I'm going to say this with all the love in my heart, but biblical illiteracy will make you vulnerable to deception. I'm going to say it again. Biblical illiteracy will make you vulnerable to deception. The percentage of Christians who read their Bible on a regular basis in America is extremely low. That is why lies and false ideologies have perpetrated the church, because we're not reading our Bibles. We are depending on what makes sense or who's the coolest, most charismatic person online that we like to watch and listen to. Read your Bible. To sing a song that pastor likes to sing. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. We teach our kids that, but hello, adults. Read your Bible, pray every day. That doesn't mean read your Bible on Sunday morning and pray every day. It means read every day and pray every day. We've been encouraging our youth and young adults to read their Bible every day. And during youth on Thursday, we had them tell us when they were going to read the Bible in their schedule. And they all told us, and then Giselle started writing it down, and they were like, what? You're writing it down? No, that's not when I'm going to do it. And they were like freaking, and I'm cracking up because I'm not in there. I'm just listening to it. And then I text the whole group with the parents and the youth. We encouraged your kids to find time in their daily schedule to read the Bible. Please keep them accountable. And then all of a sudden the texts get through on the kids' phones and they're like, oh, why did Pastor do that? Help your kids start when they're young. Because when they do it when they're young, it's easier when they are older. Because when you're young, you got two things to do, school and chores. When you're older, you got a lot more than that to do, amen? And if you can't figure out when to read your Bible when all your responsibility is school and chores, how much harder is it gonna be when you got kids, work, this activity, that activity, finances, blah, 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 blah. Learn now. Read your Bible. That is the only way to make sure you don't fall vulnerable or prey to the spirit of deception. And I just want to say this. I want to encourage you to read your Bible for yourself. Daily devotions are good, but they give you one scripture and somebody else's idea of what that scripture means. That's a good way to start. But some of you are too old in Christ that is still your daily diet. I love you. You know, when kids are little, you mush up their food. You puree their food. You feed them their food. Do you want to do that to your 18-year-old child? I got to go to lunch with you, bun, because, you know, I still got to make some of your food. Here you go. And yet our Christian life looks a lot like that. I love you. That's why I'm telling you. It's time to grow up and feed yourself. It's time that you learn how to read the Bible for yourself. And you can, because you have the same Holy Spirit I do. I'm not different or special. I'm just saved by grace and full of the Holy Spirit, just like you. You can hear the Holy Spirit speak to you through the Word of God. And if you think it's boring, then ask Holy Spirit, when I read the Bible, make it not boring. He will. I don't know if I can read the Bible because I open it, it makes no sense. Holy Spirit, when I open my Bible, help me to understand what I'm reading. I like Bill Johnson says, you know, I don't remember what I ate 2 days ago, but it did the job. But I can remember some real, like lobster in Maine, I remember that. My first New York pizza, I remember that. But I don't remember a lot of what I eat in between. And it's like the Word of God. Even if you don't get holy goosies and, oh my goodness, that was amazing. If you read the Word, it will nourish you, strengthen you, protect you, even if you don't remember what you read the other day. Okay? The importance is you read it. Okay? Tell yourself, read my Bible. You see, I didn't have you tell them. Tell yourself. I didn't hear you tell yourself. I think I need it again. Can you tell yourself, read my Bible? Maybe I should have you tell me what day you're going to do it. I'm going to start writing it down. Maybe we can have a line outside it. No, I'm just. Got to learn to feed yourself. This is why it's so important that I keep asking you every week to bring an actual Bible. Because you know what would steal from my Bible reading time? My phone. Because even if you read your Bible on your phone, then that notification pops up. And then somebody sends you a funny reel. It's only a minute. And then next thing you know, another reel. Next thing you know, 2 hours later, you haven't even opened your Bible. You've been answering texts. You've been looking at reels. You've been shopping online. You've been looking at the latest football scores. I don't know what you do on your phone. And then you're like, shoot, I got to go to work. Let's be real. That's why I want you to own a real Bible. And if you don't have one, I will buy it for you. And I want you to learn how to read a real Bible. I'm going to keep saying it until you get it. Because, guys, I can only pastor you to the ability God gives me. I don't live with you. You wouldn't want me to. But the Holy Spirit lives with you. And the Word of God is there. I remember reading about the birth of the underground church in China. They wanted a Bible so bad and they didn't have one. This was just the 1980s, guys. This is the 1980s. Pastor Yoon, he's a pastor now, he wasn't then. He got saved. He wanted the Bible. And he would pray and fast and pray and fast. There was no Bible to be found, no Bible anywhere, because their government took all the Bibles out. And they wanted the Bible so bad. And he fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed. And then he just said, God, I'm not going to eat again until I get your word. I need your word. I need your word. And after a long period of fasting, in the middle of the night, somebody knocks on his door. To this day, he doesn't know if it was a real person or an angel. But they took him on a journey through this there and this windy place and that windy place. And then somebody handed him the word of God. And he read that and cherished it. And then you know what they did? Because there's no Bibles in China. They would tear a page of the Bible. They would pass it around. And whoever had that page meditated on it, read it over and over, memorized it. And then when they would gather secretly, they would change and they would switch. Could you imagine? You and I, some of us have 6 Bibles at home. And we don't even read it. We have the Bible on our phone. You can read it in any translation you want. You ain't stuck with King James. I know, Andrea, you love King James, but baby, whew. But there are lots of different versions. We have an excuse. And I remember reading that, and I was like, this had to have been 100 years ago in the 80s, 1980, 1990s. There are parts of the world where they don't have a Bible, and you and I have no excuse. We have no excuse. Holy Spirit, make us hungry for your word. For your words are spirit and life. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates bone and divides thoughts and judges our thoughts and our actions. Holy Spirit, give us a greater hunger as this is our last day of fasting and we've been seeking you. Holy Spirit, give us a hunger for your word. Help us to carve out times in our day that we actually read the Bible for ourselves. Grow us up in this church. We don't want to just be drinking milk our whole life. It's time to feed ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit who will give us understanding of your word. Help us, Lord, to be more diligent and disciplined in reading the word. Give us understanding. Make it not boring. Bring it to life because it is alive. Take the scales off our eyes in Jesus' name. I just speak that over some of you. I just speak that scales over your eyes would fall off and that as you read the Bible, it will come alive and you will know truth and the truth will set you free. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's keep reading 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone to be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Wow. People who don't know Jesus are held captive by the devil to do what he wants. Sometimes people say, I don't understand why so-and-so does what they do. It's conversations sometimes that my mom and I have, and I say, well, Mom, they don't have the Spirit. They don't believe in Jesus. So it's not going to make sense to you and me. Like, don't get mad about it. Don't get frustrated by it. Recognize. They don't believe in Jesus. Therefore, it ain't going to make sense all the time to you and me because we believe in Jesus. We have the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit. So when I'm talking to you about being bold as lions to stand bold for, I love how Paul says, because he says, those who oppose the truth, gently instruct them. Don't get in a fight. Look, when somebody in your work or your family or someone wants to come to you to talk about Jesus, you know when they're just trying to start a fight. Don't get baited. There's no point. Even Jesus didn't fight. Jesus didn't argue with people. Jesus sometimes stayed silent. And like a masterful politician, they asked him a question. He just told a story. Look, I know when I'm being approached and they just want to pick a fight. The Bible tells me you don't have to argue. See, guys, it's not your job to defend Jesus. He can do that himself. It's not your job to stick up for God and start a fight. Don't get baited into a fight. But I love how it tells us here very, very clearly. It says that you must not quarrel, but you must be kind to everyone. So how do you live to show that gospel is good? Be kind to everybody. Is this a novel thought? You see shirts, be kind. They stole it from the Bible, y'all. That's not a new age wow. That's the word of God. And you see it in cities. Be kind to everyone. Now you know where it came from. And it says to everyone, not just the people you like. Uh-oh. Not just the people who are good to you. Because it says, be patient with difficult people. Anybody know a difficult person? Don't argue. I'm talking about living bold and living bold for truth. Understand how God wants that to look like. You don't fight. You don't argue. You're kind. You don't get into a quarrel. You're kind to everyone, even the people at work you don't like. Even with difficult personalities that you're related to. Is this getting too real for us? And look what it says, be ready to teach. Now, some of you look at that and you freak out. I can't teach the word. I can't teach the word. Well, you know what you can do? Tell your testimony. What has God done for you? And if you've been saved long enough, you should know the basics of the gospel message. We've all sinned. We could believe in Jesus who died on the cross, and then we get saved. There, I just gave it to you. Write it down. Super, super short, simple. I'm going to read it again. A servant of the Lord, say that's me. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, tell their testimony, be ready to tell the gospel message in simplicity, and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Gently. Don't name call them. You stupid idiot. Come on. I've seen some Christians online and the way they react, and I'm just like, oh, no, man. Like, oh, Jesus. Oh. You evil, ignorant person, you don't know what you're talking about. Have you? Come on, you've seen some. And I'm just like, oh, Jesus, please no. That is not helpful, nor is it biblical. Don't call people names. Gently oppose the truth. Gently. Hey, I understand that that's your truth. Can I share with you what I've come to know as truth? Oh, that was good. Thanks, Holy Spirit. That was an in-the-moment Holy Spirit thing. The Holy Spirit will help you gently. Remember what it says in 1 Peter? When somebody asks you the hope that you have, explain with gentleness and respect. Honor them. That will make way more of a difference than fighting or name-calling or griping. Don't argue. I looked up the word gentleness. Because here's what the NIV says. Opponents must be gently instructed. I like this. What's the goal? In the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth. So why do we live bold for truth? Because the goal is that they will understand the hope of God. It will lead them to repentance and bring them into truth. That's the goal of living bold for truth. That's the goal of standing up for truth. The goal is not to win the argument. The goal is not to look religious. Nobody wants religious anyways. The goal is not to look superior and elite. I am a Christian. And that's why I believe what I believe. That they don't want that. It's not going to work. The goal is not to make you look good, sound good. The goal is not to impress people or to win an argument. Your goal is not even to convince them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Your goal is to instruct them gently in hope that they will come to repentance and know the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So don't fight. Don't be mean. Don't be angry. Don't call names. Because we want them to come to repentance. We want them to come to believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's the hope of mankind. Ha. We're going to end early today. Yeah, I did it for football. You're right, bro. No, you have DVRs because we have our family meeting today. All right. But here's what it looks like to live bold for truth. We're going to put up our points here. Number one, you got to know truth. That's why you got to read your Bible. Okay? You need to read your Bible. And if you're not sure what to do, I would encourage you, start with the book of John and just read what you can day to day. All right? If you can read a chapter a day, it actually doesn't take very long. I read recently that you can read the entire Bible in a year if you read just 10 minutes a day. I was like, really? When I've tried it, it felt a lot more than that. But you got to know the truth. You can't live bold for truth unless you know the truth. That's why I want you to read the Bible for yourself. And once you know truth, then you have to guard truth. You guard truth. Why? By the power of the Holy Spirit that says, yep, that's me, and nope, that's not me. That inner voice that says, that's truth, that's not. By going to the Word of God, you know, the church of Berea in Acts, when Paul came and preached the gospel of Jesus, you know what the Berean people did? They went back and studied the Torah and the prophets, and they went and looked for themselves. Is this guy really saying the truth? And then after they searched the scriptures, then they said, okay, this is the truth. And they came to faith in Jesus Christ. You and I should be doing the same thing. I am not offended if you don't believe everything I say. Test me. And if there's something you don't agree with me on, bring it to me. Let's talk about it. Maybe you have a revelation you can teach me. I am not 100% the Bible authority. But we can learn together, grow together. So you got to know truth to guard truth. And number three, test the truth. Test the truth. And then number four, share the truth. So number one, everybody say, know truth. Number two, guard truth. Number three, test truth. Number four, share the truth. And what is our goal? To bring people to repentance through faith in Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.